I'm Lauren.
And I'm Cheryl.
And on this episode of Lit Chicks Read, we're chatting A Court of Wings and Ruin by Sarah J. Maas. Okay, so it's time. We are on to the third book of the ACOTAR series, A Court of Wings and Ruin, or ACO War, which, as you just said, is very fitting because that's what happens a lot in this book.
I'm pretty sure I actually remember her saying that she was that she did that intentionally, like, and she knew she wanted it, the acronym to say war in it, and so she figured out the words that would fit that. It actually made me think, oh, well, if that's the case, like, what would it be for the first two? And so I was trying to think of, like, you know, alternate meanings that they could be. So the first one, ACOTAR, like, what's the not the central conflict maybe, but, like, I was like, well, Tamlin and Rhys.
Rhys. Oh, you're so smart.
Right? Because we get the introduction of both of them.
Right, right.
And then for ACOMAF, I was like, well, mating and face and.
Maybe a little stretch, but yes.
Maybe a little stretch, right? But, like,
I like it. We'll go with it.
It's that, because that's what I think of when I think of, like, ACOTAR. The T reminds me, okay, that's the Tamlin book.
Tamlin, yeah.
And then ACOMAF is the mating book.
It's the mating book.
And this is the war book.
This is. It is. And that's essentially what this is.
It's like a series of battles.
Yes. Very intense. Very, you know what I was thinking of? You watched Game of Thrones, right?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
It just reminded me of towards the end, like I don't want to give spoilers, I guess, if someone didn't watch it. But anyway, it was very Game of Thrones-ish for me.
Yeah.
With the battle.
And, like, battle here and then reconvene, battle here, reconvene. Yeah.
Very intense.
A lot of that. Yeah.
But still so good. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, I love that everyone essentially, like, we get everyone in this book.
And I love that. There's some characters that we only, like, when I think back to the trilogy, so, like, this is, there are more books now, but essentially this is the Feyre point of view trilogy, right? So this is, in some essences, like, the last book of this, right? It's the last book of their, like, story.
Oh, yes. Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point, because A Court of Silver Flames is not.
It's not. Right. Yeah, it shifts. Like, the next book, the novella, is like the bridge book between the two, right?
Sense. Yep.
But when I think of, like, who are the main characters, and you think of Rhys and his inner circle, then it surprises me. I forget that we only met, like, Asriel in the last book.
Yeah.
We didn't even meet him in the first book.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy to get more of those characters that I love so much.
Yeah, more of those characters, but we see so many other characters that we've heard about. Mm-hmm. Right. And they have a bigger role. I just like that everyone kind of comes together essentially in this book to make what needs to happen kind of thing, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Alliances, many alliances.
Yes. Great. Yes. Great way of putting it.
Yeah. So just a reminder of where we start. So remember, at the end of the last one, Feyre pretended that she had been getting mind controlled by Rhys so that she could let them all escape where they were being held by the king. But her sisters had already been turned to Fae. So she's gone from the Night Court. She is back to the Spring Court. She is pretending, like, fending Tamlin off by pretending to be, like, traumatized by what happened to her in the Night Court, but really she's just, like, super, super pissed because,
like,
Tamlin, totally double agent.
Yes,
she is like trying to undermine, figure out the story, like, get as much info as she can, and also undermine the Spring Court because she wants revenge. Essentially.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Tamlin sold out. She sees Tamlin as having sold out all of Prithian because he made a deal with the King of Highburn to get Feyre back. But he agreed to help him break the wall and invade Prithian through the Spring Court.
Right.
Like, that's a bold, shitty move.
Real shitty. And she is not happy.
Not at all happy. And then
she's very conniving, I feel like, in this first, wouldn't you say?
She is, yeah. Oh, for sure.
She does a lot.
Yeah. She's like, we're seeing some dark side of her, really.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
How like, crafty she gets to set people up.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Against his, what's the term? His, what are the guards? Not the guard. What are they called? Sentries?
His guards. Well, some of them are his sentries.
Yes. Okay.
His army.
Essentially
armies.
Turns yeah, them against his... him. And then also yep. how with her moves with Lucien. She's very, yep. you know.
Uh-huh. She true. Totally makes Tamlin think that something's going on between her and Lucien. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, it's funny with the guards because, she does it intentionally, but it's all stuff that Tamlin does. So, for example, like she goads him until he explodes again, like he did in the first book.
Right.
But in the first book, remember, there was like she unconsciously threw up a shield, I think, was it?
Yes.
Or what happened that she.
Yeah. I don't think she realized she could, right?
Yeah. And then in this one, she does it intentionally. Like doesn't throw up a shield so that she will get injured so that she can kind of show everybody like, look what he did to me. Right. Mm-hmm. So he did do it. And if she had been human, she would have died.
Like yeah,
he
right.
exploded a room at her.
Yes.
So like we hear that he's trying. Right. But he still has his anger issues. Right. Like yes. she provokes him, but he doesn't have any self-control. So she's mad at him for that. And then she's also mad because he believes the story. The reason she doesn't want to be intimate is because they believe that Rhys was forcing her mm-hmm. And abusing her. And then she's pissed at that. They're like, can't believe that they would believe that of him.
Yeah.
Because she knows that he's so different. And then, of course, Ianthe is the priestess who sold out her sisters. So she's at fault for them becoming Fae. So then Fae is also like doing all this, these little moves to get under her skin. Like there's that one where there's the ceremony and she like moves the stone because yes. Xanthi yes. has it all set up so that yeah. the sun will rise right over her head. And instead it rises over Feyre's.
Yeah. Hey, Feyre's got like a hit Woo! List in this book. She's just got yeah. a hit list of people she's taken down, you know,
yeah, that's
starting
right.
to spring gore. So,
yeah.
So, yeah.
And she's mostly believed, except that Lucien suspects. You can see him sometimes. She's like, he's like watching her.
Yes.
And then Alice knows, but Feyre never like doesn't admit it to her. Yes. But Alice she says to her at one point, they say you came back different, came back wrong. I never bothered to tell them that I think you came back right at last.
Yes. I love her character. And I also love that, yes, without admitting, they get each other, right? So
they
she's
do.
Like, you will always have a friend. Doesn't she say mm-hmm. you'll always have a friend in the
yes.
night court? Yeah.
So that's when Alice realizes that Feyre is going to leave for the last time. She's going to yes. leave the Spring Court, and she like packs her a bag.
Yes.
She knows.
Yes.
And she tells her that she's going to go back to the Summer Court where she's from. And they have this little like slightly coded conversation back and forth
yes.
where you know that they are getting each other. Yeah.
Yes.
And Alice says you'll always have a friend in the Summer Court. And
that's
Feyre
right.
says you'll always have a friend in mine.
In my
and
yes, they, that's right.
She they both
say,
know
yes specifically what it is. But she does also yeah. warn Alice like, don't mention my name because I got a blood.
Yeah,
yeah, you know what I mean.
That's
like,
right.
She's like,
yeah.
you don't know me. So, but I did love their relationship. And yeah, mm-hmm. Lucien is, you know, he's quiet. And
yep.
I feel like he's one of those quiet characters that's observant, more observant than others. So while I think he knew this whole time, and then I think it probably just hit him like, I was right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't want to believe yourself, but then you realize you were right the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I love the, like, when she does take him, when she does leave the Spring Court and he goes with her because he wants to be with Elaine,
right?
Who he has this realization in the last book that she's his mate. When he first sees like Velaris and he's stunned, this beautiful city, and that the Night Court is not what they've been led to believe it is.
Yeah.
He's just like in a state of shock for a while, I think.
Yeah. And doesn't he have a good, I don't know if I have it written down, but I feel like there's a quote. There's something he says that's so, I should have wrote it down. I'll have to find it and then say it again.
In the beginning or
at
like when
point,
he comes to the.
At that point with Velaris, like he. I don't know.
I think he recognizes that that's her family, says something about that.
Nothing me, like he, yeah, he basically him recognizing like everything I've ever been led to believe is wrong.
Right.
Right. You know,
yeah.
like just.
Oh, yeah. He's like, but I've seen him do these terrible things. And then he
yeah.
like, he tries to go backwards like, wait, have I?
Yeah, right.
Or, yeah. Or have I just thought that he did it?
And, yes.
Which actually, total segue, but that reminds me a lot of Eris. I think in this book, we get a lot of hints that Eris is not who we think he is, and that there's more to his story and more below the surface. And Feyre even at one point thinks, like, if he had had a different father, a different upbringing, he might have been like a good male, and maybe that's still in him.
Yeah.
So I think we have more to see, more to come with him too. But I think, not with Lucien, but while you're looking through the book there, with Rhys and Tamlin, like in the beginning there where she's back with Tamlin and he's trying. And we talked a lot about that last time about, you know, Tamlin was her good for right now, but Rhys is her happy ending. I think they're kind of opposites in a way that, like, Tamlin looks like on the surface, like the good, you know, like the good, he looks like the good guy, right? Just even like how he's described and all golden and spring and whatever. And Rhys looks dark and brooding and night court, right? But really they're kind of like opposites inside. Like Tamlin has more darkness inside him, whereas that most people don't see, whereas Rhys plays off like, as Jurian says at one point, soulless and wicked, but is the most decent of them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even when, like, Rhys, towards the end, he gives himself to save their world, essentially. And Helion walks up and he's like, of course he did.
Right.
Like, yeah. You know, like, he would, of course, do that. He is that guy. He is. And, like, everyone thought he was the bad guy in the first book and that he was, you know, Amarantha's whore and just looking out for himself. And then they find out that actually he's been trying to work this whole time to save everybody.
Well, and also, I mean, so Velaris is what no one else knew about, right? That's the city they kept hidden. Okay. Yeah. So they know Rhys as the Night Court, and they also know the Court of Nightmares as a part of the
Night Court,
correct?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I feel like naturally they're going to, knowing that, and he has to act a certain very disgusting way when he goes to the Court of Nightmares, right? Mm-hmm. So naturally he is getting that bad rap, right?
But he plays into it.
He plays into it.
He's playing a part.
Exactly. But Velaris is the real him.
Yeah.
As Lucien can then see, right? I think that was the comment. He was like, there's people running around. There's kids running in the street. I think it was that realization moment. I can't find it. But where he's like, people are happy. People are thriving. People are, it was that. Like he was looking into it. Yes.
Cognitive dissonance of like what he believes and then what he's seeing, and it doesn't match up.
Exactly. And he's like, I've never seen that. So I think it's, and you know, Feyre's just like, yeah, you know, like this is it. This is home. Yeah. And so, but again, I think Lucien, I hope we get more Lucien down the road.
I do too.
More, but I just,
let's talk a little bit about predictions with Lucien in a bit, because I have a few.
Ooh, okay. All right.
So this is the one where we find out for sure we get the Feyre's reveal, or where she's revealing to everybody that she's now wife and High Lady.
High Lady.
Mm-hmm. So when she's making the escape from the Spring Court, and they go through the Autumn Court, and Lucien's brothers, Aerys, etc., find them, and that's the first time she like shows her powers, right, and declares herself like, I am High Lady of the Night Court.
Yes.
And then they get home, Lucien comes with her, and when she goes up with Rhys, and they have some private time, and then they come down with their rings on for the first time.
Yeah.
And her ring is silver and star sapphire. I was like, of course it's a star sapphire.
yes.
Do you know what those look like? It's like a dark blue stone, and it actually, when the light shines on it, it makes this six-pointed star. It's really a cool stone. And then we find out, or she realizes, that Rhys has always given her a crown. Like, even from the very beginning when they were under the mountain, and the twins were like getting her ready for her evenings out in the court, and they would weave little crowns into her hair and stuff.
Yes, I do remember that. Yeah.
He was always doing that. Mm-hmm. Like when they go to the meeting of the High Lords to plan and figure out what they're going to do about Highburn coming, when Tamlin comes and he sees the tattoo of the mating bond, he sees the ring and realizes. And then Feyre does this excellent burn where Tamlin makes a comment about he only did what he did with letting Highburn in because Rhys stole his bride away in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then Feyre's like, the sun was shining when I left you.
Yeah, yeah, I love
like, her. Boom, like, like, she's like,
you know, yeah. Yeah. Mic drop, whatever, you know,
like, yeah, totally mic drop. Yeah, I was like, ooh, yes, yeah. Exactly. But do you think that she went too far with her revenge against Tamlin?
I think she is. I think she's obviously acting from a place where she's incredibly hurt.
Freshly hurt
in multiple ways. So not only on her and her sisters and her family, but also her mate's family. You know, she mm-hmm. learned a lot about what Tamlin did.
Yeah.
You know,
to Reese's mom and sister. Yes.
So yep. I think she's, yes, being very spiteful. Naturally, I think that's a natural, mm-hmm. you know, to get back at him. Did she go too far? I don't know. But I do think, acting more on emotion for sure, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yes, so. I agree. Yeah. I think like what she did with Ianthe, I'm totally fine with that.
Yes.
Like both same. when she's going to escape and then she finds that Ianthe has like confined Lucien.
Yes.
And is, you know.
Yes. Oh, I loved that part so much.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that where Lucien also realized like, oh shit. Like, you know, like she's, and that's when, yeah. And then the other two, the twins come out and they're like, she's dating.
Yes.
You know, yeah.
Dagden and Branagh.
Yes. I think that's,
they're crazy. Lucien,
they're nuts. Don't have any regrets about them either. But I think that's where Lucien probably was just like, what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, she.
You can do what? Like, yeah, there was a hint of that in the last book, but where she shows her wings and won't let him capture her.
Yes.
But then she plays all that off, right? That she was under Reese's spell. But then she's really being herself in this scene. But yeah, that's like when she makes Ianthe like smash her own hand and says, you'll never touch anyone else against their will.
Yeah.
Ever again. And then later we get full revenge against Ianthe when she lures her into the Weaver's cottage.
Yes.
And that is the end of Ianthe.
Yeah. Yeah. And she deserves it. You know, and after
she does, she's a terrible person.
Yeah. Terrible person. So yeah, I don't think she went too far there at all. I'd probably do the same thing. But
yeah,
I still feel, as much as I love Reese, I don't hate Tamlin. And so I know for me it's mm-hmm. like I think again, she's acting on emotion and she's very hurt for her mate as well.
Yeah.
I still feel like even after having read all 5 books, I feel like, and I won't go into more detail, but I still don't know enough about Tamlin. Would you say that?
Agreed. Yeah, I would agree.
I feel like there's more to him. And yes, he is. I know we've had this same discussion in the last mm-hmm. podcast. There's more to him and it's not that he's bad. So I just, as much as he hurt her, it does make me feel bad that she hurt him. So, you know, I don't know, but this might just be my nice side talk. You know, like I feel
the bright side of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
So,
yeah. And I think that like Feyre acknowledges at one point that like what she's doing will take a piece of her own honor.
Yes.
Away. And then later Tamlin really tries to throw it on her. Like, if it wasn't for what you did, like now my villages are all defenseless because my people won't follow me anymore. But again, everything he did it.
He did.
Right? Like she may have pushed him a little, but he did it. And, you know, for example, the Highburn had promised Tamlin that his villages would remain untouched if he let him in. But he doesn't keep that promise. Like he raises those villages. And then Tamlin tries to hold that against Feyre. And it's like, oh, well, but wait, dude, you made that deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your fault. Tamlin, that's not her fault.
I think the difference between Tamlin and Reese when it comes to that, I think remember I said last podcast too, Reese is always like 10 steps ahead of everyone. It's like, oh, he mm-hmm. can almost predict what's going to happen and therefore acts accordingly. And I feel like Tamlin is a little immature in that sense. Mm. Wouldn't you say?
More reactive.
Correct. More reactive instead of like stopping, not reacting,
proactive
thinking, and, being proactive. Yeah. So yeah. I feel like
Reese would kick Tamlin's ass in chess.
Oh, 1,000%. Yes, that's exactly it, though. He reacts on emotion, whereas Reese does not. Doesn't mean he's not feeling those emotions. It's just that he's better at, like, yes, turning it inward and like, okay, mm-hmm. let's take a second
totally agree.
Before we react and like flip a table, you know?
Yeah.
We could all learn a little.
Even like, yeah, even when Tamlin is like saying terrible things about Feyre at that meeting and stuff, he like really is like controlling himself.
Yes.
And the only thing he does at one point when Tamlin really goes too far with what he's saying about Feyre being spoiled goods and spreading her legs for reason, whatever, he just like takes away his power of speech. And you know, like with his power, he could do so much more, but all he does is make it so that Tamlin can't say anything else for a while.
Exactly. Exactly. So
it's very subtle.
Yes. So I think Tamlin just doesn't think things through all that well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think that he gets enough of a redemption arc in this story? Like when we find out that he is going to help them against Tyburn by providing like documents about where their movements are, whatever, and then he helps rescue Feyre when she goes to Hybern's camp to get Elaine back. Remember, he helps her there.
Yeah.
And then he has his little be happy at the very end when he's helping to revive Rhys. He wants Feyre to be happy. Do you think that's enough, or he's still going to do some more work to like prove himself?
I feel like it's going to take him a while to prove himself in general.
Yeah.
Not, you know, just to us as readers, but just to everyone there that he's scorned. Right.
Yeah.
When you say so.
Yeah.
I think he's on the right path. But when you've done so many things as he's done, not even necessarily like meaning to. Right. So like, again, even just take example from the last book, we said Tamlin basically locked Feyre up, whereas Rhys let her go. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he did that as a bad thing. He just was reacting on his emotions
and trying to protect her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make him bad. So that's where it's, I think he just doesn't even realize the damage he's done. And and it's deep for many people. And therefore, it's going to take him a little bit of time, which is why I'm hoping we get more of him. I just feel like there's so much more to tell regarding Hamlin's story. We have.
He needs a good few sessions of therapy.
He does, yeah,
and then he can come back to us.
I really want Tamlin to just kind of have this aha moment where he like realizes how he acted and who he hurt and how he was behaving, and realize that he did it for the wrong reasons, especially as a High Lord.
Yeah.
You know, like I feel like being
he should have more perspective.
Exactly. I feel like acting on emotion is not good for anyone in such high power, you know, like
regardless it's dangerous when you have that power at your disposal.
Exactly. So, I just would love a Tamlin book where he goes through some therapy, realizes, like changes himself a little bit.
Can you see Tamlin like lying on the therapist couch with like a box of tissues on his chest?
I'd be here for it. You know, like I think we need him to have his, emotional, I don't know, what do you want to call it? But he needs to like, he needs to have a moment. So. I do love when he says, be happy, Feyre. Like, I think he's starting to realize, like, okay, like, I want him to just realize that the love that he thought he had with Feyre is not what actual love is, right?
And
Feyre and Rhys.
And I think there's a bit of healing between them, because then in return for that, she sends him a note be sent to him saying, you know, thank you, and I hope you find happiness too, basically.
Yes.
So they finally have like a bit of a
little
better break.
Yeah.
Little closure, exactly.
Yeah.
You brought up the crazy twins, Dagdon and Branna. Yeah. You know who they reminded me of? Cool. In Twilight, Jane and Alec. Remember them? They were part of the Volturi. They were brother and sister.
Oof, I don't know. Oh. She
could do the power of pain, and he could do the power of like he would make it go black so you didn't know what was around you. She was played by
I don't know. That's we're going way back now. It's been
that's
a while
like Breaking Dawn, I think. She's the she was played by the blonde hair girl. Her sister is the one in The Great.
Don't know what that is.
Fanning. Dakota Fanning.
Dakota Fanning? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Do you remember them?
No, I don't.
No? Well, they were the same thing. Same
I'm
thing.
The wrong
they were
person like... to ask about movies, Cheryl.
It's a box. You read Twilight.
No, I know, but you said The Gray.
The character. Right. That's a show, but it's very good.
Oh. Okay.
But they were the same. They were like evil siblings who like were maybe too close for siblings. You had that kind of like icky kind of feeling.
Well,
like,
you know what's funny?
Two.
You say that. Yes, because I was reminded... I was getting Cersei and Jamie vibes.
Oh, yeah, that too. Another good one. Yeah, twins, right?
Like now, granted, I loved Jamie, right, at the end of Game of Thrones.
At the end, but not so much in the beginning.
No, and so that's it. Did you listen to this on Audible? So I meant to say this in the beginning.
Yeah.
I listened to most of this, a part of this, on Audible, getting ready for this. And it is an experience listening on Audible. It's like literally like you're listening to a movie. But her voices were like exactly what I thought for these characters. It was so good.
Yeah.
But yes.
Evil and creepy.
I got really creepy vibes from them. I was
these
two are a little too close for comfort for me.
Right? There's that part where Branna says something about when she's still in the Spring Court and they're going out to like explore the wall or whatever. And she's giving that impression that there's something more going on between her and Lucien. And Branna's like, I choose Lucien too, basically. And then she goes, Autumn Court males have fire in their blood and they fuck like it too.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, whoa. Yeah. And then there's this part where Dagden is trying to insult Feyre by saying, like, you can't possibly understand what we're trying to do here by figuring out the weaknesses in the walls. And it's a careful, complex process, one I doubt your mortal mind can grasp. And then Freyr's like, well, this mortal mind did manage to solve Amarantha's riddle and destroy her. And I was like, Feyre, dear, that's really not such a good brag.
I know.
We talked about
I know.
We talked about that riddle thing in our first the Akatar episode.
I know. I was going to say that riddle is
simplest riddle ever. Yeah. Yes.
But
and I don't know if she really destroyed her. Like, she did come up with the answer to the simple riddle, but then Tamlin destroyed her.
Right. I mean, it took her a while to think of the answer to the riddle. I don't know.
It really
did. I knew it literally. Right. I don't know if it was even just way too predictable, but I remember the first time I was like, oh, obviously it's this. Like,
obviously it's love.
Jeez.
It's love. But have you read all the Harry Potters?
Yes. But it's, again, been a while. So.
Okay. Well, in the last book, there's also a set of twins. They're called the Carrows, and they're same thing. They're like a boy and a girl. I can't remember if twins or siblings, but they are also very bad and thrive off making people hurt. I was like, what is with this trope of like the brother sister creepy twin. Brother sisters that totally evil twins, but like where they're both evil, not like good twin evil.
Yeah. I know. Well, they were super conniving as far with the Feybane and all of that with
that actually surprised me. And when I read this book again, all those hints were there. Feyre kept complaining that she was tireder than she should be, and she had headaches, and like the clues were there.
Distant, Feyre,
yes, it was like muffled,
Whole,
so that was pretty smart on their part. I was like, all right, that was a good ploy.
Yeah, but I mean. Yeah, then she took care of them.
She still destroyed them. That would have been a good battle, hey?
That's what I mean. I feel like I would love to see this book be a movie or a show. This one, I mean, the whole series.
Like more than any of them almost, though, right?
Yeah,
like,
because it's
so much good action.
Packed, you know, like so many different battles. And I was just like picturing them, right? Because they're in the woods, right?
Yeah.
I'm just picturing like Lucien, like, you know, tied up by the tree, and then like her, you know, the whole Ianthe with the skull, like that whole scene is just crazy.
Or there's when they do the, when they go to save Summer Court, there's the battle at Adriata, and Varian sends word that they need help to Amarin. And so the Night Court goes, they're the only court that goes and responds to help them. Even though they have these blood rubies out against them, they go to help them. And Mor and Feyre would have been amazing to watch. There's like a scene where it's like all dark, but they can, Feyre can, you know, sense, and she's like, she thinks Mor was born being able to see in the dark. And so they like destroy all these bad guys and then let the lights come back up, and all the Adriata soldiers are like, what just happened?
Yeah.
There's just like dead bodies everywhere.
Yeah, everywhere. Yeah, yeah.
Rockstar.
That's where she's like winnowing and attacking, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She does that. She does that a few times, that trick. She does that with Dagden and Branna too, the like winnow attack.
Yes, but I remember her specifically with, that scene with Mor, right?
She.
I just picture these two really amazing badass chicks just like
they're wearing their leathers, the Illyrian leathers, and
so cool.
There's that other battle that comes later also in Summer, but the very beginning of it we get the setup, like Mor and Feyre are just watching that one, and then remember Feyre sneaks away to go see the Carver, but Cassian yells shields, and all I could think of was The Last Kingdom.
I was gonna say,
shield wall.
Yes, exactly. I know, so many.
I'd like to see
there.
That. And then the final battle is like, oh man, can you imagine seeing that, like the ranks of of Hybern's troops just like going out into infinity. There's so many of them.
Yeah.
But then like the sudden reveal of Bryaxis and the Carver and the Weaver yes. all on the front lines and yeah. then like them blasting through those yeah. Baddies. I would love to see that.
That reminds me of that final Game of Thrones scene, you know, yeah. like in the last season against the White Walkers, you know? So that's what yep. I mean. Yep. Like that whole, yep. I just feel like that would be, oh, the cinematography would be so amazing.
And they would have to do it well, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
That. Like, they would have to throw a lot of budget in it to make that yeah. scene look good.
Yeah, which is probably why they haven't done it.
You know what I yeah, mean? But I really hope they do.
I do, too. I just think it would be so badass to see yeah. all of that. So, and even uh-huh. Amryn coming up, like...
Oh, yeah. My gosh. When Amryn becomes so she gets released from her fey body. Yeah. And then she's essentially an angel, right? Is that what you think she is?
So, I was going to ask you this, because this has always been a little... And even like reading after this book, it's like, what is she now? I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't.
I mean, I can't now. I think out. She's just fey. Now I think she's just okay. fey.
Because her eyes don't glow like they did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So I don't know. What do you think?
So I think we're led to believe that she comes from our world or one very like it, because the story she tells, they're very like they have those references that seem very biblical. Like she says she's from a very young world with a vengeful god, and she and her kind are perfect beings that have immortality in the form of burning grace. Mm-hmm. She refers to her father is the ruler of the world. She keeps calling him her father. And then she talks about at one point the part where she goes through the rip between worlds. She and her kind had just laid waste to twin cities upon a plain. And I was like, well, dang, that's Sodom and Gomorrah. It must be, right? Like from the Bible. So, yeah. And then when she transforms, then she's, you know, she's described as light and fire. She has great burning wings. She has a crown of incandescent light floating above her flaming hair.
Yeah.
Like, it just sounds very like biblical angels to me.
Yeah, I would love to see that. But then after that, then she's just fey.
I think she's just fey, yeah, because I think she surrenders her grace, like it kind of like expires as she's flying, right? She gets right. dimmer and dimmer and dimmer and dimmer yeah. and then disappears. Okay. And then when Rhys is in the cauldron, he sees her going to wherever we go, he says, and sticks out a hand just like in case she wants to come back, and she does. So then I think she's just like made like Feyre and her sisters and Miriam and all of them that were like partly made by the cauldron. I think she's just that. But I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Story. I want like a full Amryn.
Like even a novella
series.
Or yeah.
I feel like there's so much there. She's
so many questions.
Been,
like I wrote down this one part where she's like telling the story of like where she came from. And then Feyre asked her what her name was. And she says she doesn't remember what her name was or what she was called in that old world. Mm. But she chose the name Amryn because it's a long story. And that's the whole line. And I was like, come on, man, I want that story.
I wonder, though, if, again, Sarah J. Maas put that in there because down the road.
We're going to get it later.
I feel like.
Totally.
I feel like she wouldn't put. I'm gonna hold out for that. I'm going to have faith that
I hope we get more.
She's coming. Yeah. So I know.
There's a couple hints like that in this book where I was like, what?
But yeah.
Like when Drakon and Miriam show up at the battle, the last battle, and Drakon meets them in the air, and they're having like a little like catch up in the air. Meanwhile, yeah. there's this battle.
Where you been? Yeah.
But he says like 300 years ago, their island was threatened, and so they set up a glamour to keep the island shielded. Mm-hmm. And he says, tied to, you know. And I was like, well, I don't know. What? Yeah,
what?
Tied to what?
What do
is
we
there
know?
Another, is there another magical object there or like a magical place or some force there on Cretia? And now they're going to have the cauldron there too. So I feel like Cretia is going to be like, could be kind of a key place coming up because now it has perhaps multiple sources of great power.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is definitely not done. Well, we know there's what, like a 6 and 7 that's going to come. Didn't we see that on Goodreads?
Yes.
That. Yeah. So... Yeah.
But we don't know how long it's going to go, right?
When it's even happening, because what did she just put out the new, wasn't it Throne of Glass, like that series that she, or that book she put out?
No, it's the Crescent City ones that have, the Crescent City.
Oh, okay, right. So, yeah. I mean, hopefully we'll get something. If anyone knows.
Yeah, I think she'll keep going back and forth. Yeah.
You just like put Sarah, a good word in.
Like, Sarah, if you're listening. As if everybody in the world hasn't asked her, like, tell us what, tell us what's coming. Tell us what order you're going to release them. And I'm hopeful, though, because the only series that she's done with is Throne of Glass. And that's like nine books. Nine books, eight books. I don't know. A lot of books. So I feel like, you know, she's not afraid of a long series.
No, she's not.
So I'm just going to hope that they keep coming until she says, like, yes, this is the last one.
It's Yeah, because I feel like, again, we could get a full Amarin, I mean, spinoff, maybe. We still need to know more about Lucien. And I also feel like we just don't even know. I feel like she could go into more depth with the courts, right? Like all the
ones we haven't seen a lot of. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so.
And that could tie in with, like we've seen, Summer Court is probably the most we've seen other than Night and Spring.
Right.
Because they've been there a few times, but obviously with Varian, there's a connection now, right? That like they even joke about it that split custody of Varian and Amarin over the holidays,
right? Well, that's right, go back and forth. So I feel like now with that, because he's from Summer.
He's from Summer.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And then, okay. So then let's talk about the other court that we might see a lot of coming up. So the character we meet for the first time in this one is Helion. Helion, not Cursebreaker, that's Farrah, Spellcleaver, Helion Spellcleaver. And we get this little reveal, which isn't concrete, but Farrah thinks that Lucien is actually Helion's son.
Yes.
Not Baron's son.
Yes.
Because there was a thing, like, apparently before the Lady of the Autumn Court was married, she had met Helion and they had like a bit of a thing, but her family wanted her, essentially sold her off to the highest bidder, like Moore's family tried to do with her. So she ended up marrying Baron and Baron's children. But then at one point during the last war, she was being hunted and was sent away to be with her sisters. Her sisters sacrificed themselves for her to get away, but she's sort of lost in this forest. And it's Helion who finds her and they have an affair then. And it's revealed that, you know, Lucien looks a bit different. His skin is darker from his brother's.
Yes. And there was something else, I thought, right?
Well, I think it's the timing. They're also like, you know, he has firepower, so therefore he's Baron's, right? But then Rhys said, well, actually his mom was very gifted. Like her family was very strong. So the gift could have just come from her.
Okay.
So I think what we're going to see is hints of Helion's power coming through. Because remember, because he would be the sole heir. Helion doesn't have any other children.
Right.
So remember that the strongest child usually starts to show signs that they're going to be the heir.
Yes.
By exhibiting those powers. So maybe he'll start to show some of the powers of Helion. And that's how we're going to figure that out.
Yeah.
And then would that mean, like, he would, if he's going to inherit the Day Court, is he going to, would he move there and be prince? And then if he stays with Elaine, does that mean Elaine is going to become like Lady of the Day Court? I think that would suit her really well.
That would suit her well, but she's got to get through her own stuff first. Okay, so we talked Amarin. Let's talk more about the Inner Circle, because again, we learn more about each of them in this book, especially during these scenes. We mentioned a little bit about Moore, right? Mm-hmm. But we haven't chatted about Asriel.
Not much. We do get more of him in this book. And I love that because he truly is one of my favorite characters. Like, I actually might like Az more than Rhys. Is that? I don't know. It's something about my type, I think. Like, I'm like the shy, quiet. I really am, like, in public, you know, I'm like the shy, quiet, retiring person. And I feel like that's what Az is, right? He, like, I mean, literally, like, blends into the shadows because he's a shadow singer. But as he gets little breaks in that and we see a bit more of his personality in this, I love it. Like, the whole section with him teaching Feyre to fly.
Love.
And then hearing more about his story was just heartbreaking, about how, like, his brothers, he wasn't allowed to fly, so he didn't learn until he was older when Cassian and Rhys taught him, how he was burned, remember, by his brothers. That's why he has those scarred hands. And there's one part where he's asking, when he's, I think it's maybe his first lesson with Feyre, and he's asking to touch her to, like, check that her wings are like, you know, that she shifted them correctly, created them correctly. And when he talks about Illyrians, he says their kind, but like, he's an Illyrian, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, is that just because he doesn't identify with them because he was treated so poorly by them? Or I feel like there's a couple hints that way that maybe there's more to him. Like, he is a shadow singer. He has that power. But is there something more to this? I don't know. I feel like it was a little hint of something.
I feel like there's definitely more coming. Again, he's one we we have not really gotten into just yet. Also, can I make a prediction?
Yes.
So I feel like when we do get Az's book, right? Because he's not in an actual, like, we don't have his story yet.
He's a side character in all so far. Yeah.
So far. I feel because he's the quiet type,
his scenes. Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Spiciest. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, I feel like. And I believe like there's already. and maybe not hiding because I think they've already said that he has the biggest wingspan.
The biggest wingspan.
Mm-hmm. And we know what that means.
We do. Yeah. Because I just feel like Cassian, you know, he's kind of like the.
He's
like what you'd expect. There. And I'm not going to give anything away for book five. But, you know, I guess it's book four, right? Because the novella.
Well, I would say it's book five. I count the novella as a book. Me too. Right? Otherwise, you'll get too confused.
Yeah. So I'm not going to give anything away there. But
we see more of him.
We do. But I just feel like Az is going to like rock whoever's world.
Someone's world.
Someone's world. We don't know who, but it is going to happen.
And like poor guy being hung up on the same girl for 500 years.
No.
The poor man. Okay. I want to give him more than a hug. But so his dagger that he never lets anyone touch until he gives it to Elaine. And she kills the king with it, is called Truth Teller.
Truth Teller.
Mor is said to have the gift of truth. Mm-hmm. Is that coincidence, do you think? Or did he name the dagger for her? Did it have provenance before her? Or I was like, that seems kind of like he's hung up on this girl who is like famed for having the gift of truth. And then his dagger is called Truth Teller.
Maybe.
Seems like a little connection. Does it mean anything that he never shares it with anyone until Elaine?
I think him and Elaine definitely have some kind of connection of some kind. Mm-hmm. I feel like something's, but like, I don't know.
It almost would be too neat for like the three like pseudo brothers to hook up with three sisters, but that would be very like pretty. Pretty bow if they all ended up in the pairs like that.
But as However, we know, she already has a mate. So
she already has a mate, if that's all true. And
right, if it's true. I know. That's what I mean. True. I feel like there's so much more.
We don't know. However, I kind of actually like it. I shipped as an Elaine for a long time, but now I really actually like the idea of them just having a very strong bond because they're very, like, you know, he can read her better than other people. Mm-hmm. He, like, knows how to treat her because he's also that, like, quiet, retiring type. Mm-hmm. She opens up to him before anyone else. I kind of like that they have that, could have that strong bond and it not be a pair bonding. Like, they just have a strong, like, male-female close relationship. Yeah. I kind of like that direction. So I think I would be happy if that ends up just being that.
Yeah, it could very well be that. I mean, she could be like, he could be like the brother she doesn't have kind of thing, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're just gonna...
the friend without all the complications of their past.
Right. Right?
Like with her and Nesta and Fair, it's always going to have a bit of that complication of, you know, sisters growing up.
Yeah.
So she doesn't really have a friend other than that. Like she starts to make friends with the twins, you know, they're teaching her to bake and all that. But Yeah,
she kind of needs someone to. I know, I am too. We don't, and again, there's a lot left unsaid, even having read where we
I think we need her POV, and we're going to get a lot of the things we're wanting.
I would love to get Elaine's POV because I feel like there's a lot in that head of hers that we have not seen written out.
Yeah.
So
speaking of Mor and her gift of truth, what the heck does that mean anyway? There's a lot of like thing about like, I am the Morrigan. You know, and it's like my gift is truth. What does that mean? Does it mean that she can't lie? Does it mean that she can tell if others lie? Like, I don't really feel like we know what that gift means. Like, remember she says to the queens, is that in the last book? You know me, I am the Morrigan. I have the gift of truth. I'm like, okay, but what does that mean? That means people are supposed to believe you because you obviously can lie.
Right.
Because or hide things anyway, because we find out in this book that she has been hiding bisexuality essentially all along.
Yes.
which makes me happy and sad. Like, for 500 years and you have this amazing, like, friends that are family, they would accept you no matter what, and you still feel like you can't tell them. Like, she's on her own journey and I accept it, but it makes me sad that, like,
yeah, because she only shares that with Pharah.
Yeah.
Rhys doesn't know.
He doesn't. Okay. So I kind of wonder if that was a late addition to her story. You know, like, maybe Sarah didn't intend for it and wrote maybe it just later.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, really, 500 years? It just seems, and you're stringing along these guys, like, just because you don't want to break their hearts. But, like, isn't it breaking their hearts to, like,
yes,
you know,
right. Yeah.
flirt with Cassian and hold Az at arm's length. And every time he gets too close, you act out by, like, sleeping with someone else or whatever. Right. Like, just tell him and save yourselves all a whole lot of grief. I'm not going to, but, you know, obviously can't force someone to come out. But anyway, it makes me wonder if Sarah thought up that storyline.
Maybe. Maybe, you know, it came to her as she was, right? And that's, like, what came to her kind of thing. But, I mean, we get a little more of that coming up.
We get a little more. Yep, we do. But we can't talk about that yet.
No, I know.
And there is more queer rep in general in this book, right? Like, not only more, but we have Thiessen, who has a male partner. We have Helion, who is, well, not pansexual, bisexual. Yes. Nefel and her wife. So I do appreciate that.
Nefel was who again?
So Nefel
Where is she from?
She was a scribe. She is one of the seraphim, the winged warriors that fly or with Drakon and Miriam.
Okay.
And in their culture world, the females can fight. They can be warriors as well. But she was so tiny, she couldn't even carry, like, the shield.
That's right. Okay.
However, when they had the war where with the biblical scene of the seas parting and everybody escapes, but Miriam is hit by a spear by the evil queen, and it's Nefel who goes back there and, like, carries her, like, this tiny person who could never carry a shield, suddenly carries Miriam and rescues her. And then marries her lover, who is one of the commanders Drakon's army.
Okay, this all comes back to me. Yes, that was, got
it's
it.
It's all coming back. So we are getting more rep in this book.
Sang that song this weekend. Oh my god. After having
sang karaoke or just sang.
Nope, just post sang it cocktail. Because they love some Celine, you know. Right, that is by her. Yeah, I don't even know.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, post cocktails. Yes, that was. Yeah. I have a very nice video of them. I was I'm gonna just use this later on. Anyway, it was very funny. So I just wanted to be that. They like to blast as I'm blasting hip hop, so it's just very funny.
That's quite a contrast.
That's why they do it. So
that's a bit more of Mor and Az. Let's talk about Cassian. I love him because he just, like, is what he is.
Yeah.
But there's so many hints in this book that there is something going to happen with him and Nesta, right? Like,
so, you know,
there's
what's
this
funny?
Raging intensity between them. Go ahead.
So I feel like my phone knows that. So your explore page on Instagram, mine has been all Cassian. So I'm going
to really
do this. But yeah.
Oh,
it's all Cassian fan art.
What?
I know. So it's funny. I know. For the people listening, can't see it. But
hey, you should maybe copy the URL of that one over and let's put it on the Patreon. So some people can enjoy it.
You know what? This is pretty good. Oh, someone's. Oh, I think they're. Oh, yeah. I might give away something.
You're on your own little visual journey over there.
I am. That's actually pretty good. All right, hold on. I'm going to copy the URL. I'm going to text it to you.
Yeah.
So that you can see it. But it's funny because my explore page, every time I go to it, it's like a half-naked Cassian. And I'm like, oh, hello. You're not real. You're just a drawing.
Hello.
Okay. I don't hate it.
Yeah. No. Yeah, no, he is a very lovely male form as described and then visualized by multiple artists.
Oh, yeah.
But with him and he in this book, he's like constantly coming to Nesta's rescue, even when he like senses there's something off with her. Like, remember when she's unsettled at the meeting with the High Lords and she's talking to Pharah in her room? He just like comes in and he's like, what's wrong?
Yes.
Because he like knows there's something with her.
Yes.
There's lots of connected looks. And then it gets more and more explicit towards the end, right? Like she saves him when the cauldron is going to fire and blast the Illyrians. He would have died.
Yep.
And she calls him so that he's like far away from it when it happens. And then they go together to distract the king so that Feyre and Amrhen can go and destroy the cauldron. And like, she won't leave him. Like even when he's telling her to go and the king's about to kill him, she just like literally throws her body over him.
Yes. Yes, she does. She, there's definitely something there. There's definitely something there.
There's definitely something there. There's one, a little section I'm going to read you. It's from that section when the, so he's super injured. The king is going to essentially kill them. He's saying, go. And she's like, I can't. And then we have this. Cassian grunted in pain, but lifted his bloodied hands to cup her face. I have no regrets in my life but this. His voice shook with every word. That we did not have time. That I did not have time with you, Nesta. She didn't stop him as he leaned up and kissed her lightly, as much as he could manage. Cassian said softly, brushing away the tear that streaked down her face, I will find you again in the next world, the next life, and we will have that time, I promise. Like, that's a little side of Cassian that we haven't seen before, right? Like, he's like the brash, confident, upfront guy. And like, ooh, I was like, oh, we're getting sensitive and romantic.
I really love Cassian.
Yeah, me too.
And I can't say any more there. So everyone just needs to read the next book.
To be continued later.
Yeah, you'll hear my thoughts next podcast. Yeah, I do. I love him because he definitely has, he's very, you know, kind of showy, you know, I feel like I feel like if the
cocky.
Inner circle men were a football team, he'd be like, you know what I'm saying? Like he'd be the one. I don't know.
I don't even know what they're called. I only know quarterback.
Know, yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean, though. But he'd be like,
he's not the quarterback. He's like the Reese would be the quarterback, right? So like the big guys go out in front, and then Reese would like be the one to.
Oh, I guess that's true. Ball, well, maybe that was a bad comparison.
And then he would be like the bruiser, Cassian.
Yeah.
Like go and like, you know, do the tackling, and he's then Reese would do the targeted shot. He would throw the ball. People who love football are probably like, "What are you people talking
They're
about?"
They're like,
you
"Just stop." Yeah.
But then Az would be the one who would like do some sneaky move in from the side, and then get the touchdown.
Yeah, what's that?
Catch the ball.
I'll talk to my son about my son about the ball. I don't know.
I'm from Canada. Oh. Football is not big here.
No, hockey's your thing. But I just picture Cassie. Yeah, I guess that was a bad example. But like Cassian's like cocky and just like full of himself, you know. But like he's like that guy you love for the wrong reasons. Do you know what I'm saying? But he has this really... He's got that soft side too. So I just,
he's got the gooey inner center.
He does. I love him.
Well, it's like Nesta too. She like, she isn't what she seems, right?
One, there's all these like them
together. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's all these questions this book, like from the bone carver about like, what is she? Mm-hmm. Lucien even says to her, what are you?
She's a badass. That's what she is.
Yeah, she is. Devlin, like, remember the Illyrian commander when they go into his camp? He looks at her and he's like, what are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And she self-classifies as a witch.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, witch means something else here.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone, that's so rude. All these people going like, what are you? What is that?
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't look that different, does she?
No,
like,
but she's... Yeah, that's why I know we haven't really talked Nesta yet. And she's such a big role, her and Elaine, right? We haven't talked about the death of the king. And
the death of the king.
And the father, we haven't even touched base on that. Like their dad coming back and all this stuff. But Nesta just, I think that's why I love her and Cassian, because I feel like they're so similar. We'll get into that in the next book. But
we'll get more.
So much more. But she's just got that, like, she's so cold, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So
or
cold.
Appears to be. She's a romance reader.
Yeah, I love that about her.
We find that out.
That's what I mean. She's so cold, but she's got this side of her that, again, in this book, we just haven't fully seen yet.
Yeah. I think she's just super, she has very strong walls. She has been hurt when she was young, and then she just has, like, these super strong defenses and keeps everyone out. We do find out, remember in the first book, we were kind of like, what her family, like, Feyre's family, making her go out, and they didn't teach, like, she can't even read, and they're making her do all the work and whatever. We find out in this one, at least, like, a little piece of redemption is that Nesta didn't know that Feyre couldn't read because of when everything happened with their family and leaving school. And Nesta was like, well, why didn't you ask us to help you learn? And Feyre says, well, I didn't think you would help.
Right.
And Nesta seems really hurt by that.
Yeah.
And then Feyre goes on to say, like, why do you push everyone but Elaine away? And she starts to explain why. She says it's because, and then they get interrupted.
Yeah.
It's another one of these things.
Yeah.
That's when the ravens, the king's ravens, arrive at the library. It's pretty awesome that they team up to kill the king, though, eh? Like, Elaine drives the, don't get your hands off my sister, don't touch my sister, whatever. And then, which reminds me of, like, in Harry Potter, don't touch my daughter.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the last book. But she drives it in, and then Nesta literally, like, turns the dagger, like, all the way around his neck to, like, corkscrew his head off.
That's like some Game of Thrones. That's a Game of Thrones.
It's pretty brutal. You know? And then she, like, picks up the head. And
holding
and,
it. Like, that reminds me of Last Kingdom. I relate all these things to shows that we've watched. But yeah.
I mean, like, there's only so many ways you can do something, so it's always going to, like, conjure. Amryn jokes after everything's done. She jokes that, like, she thought Nesta would have, like, kept the head and stuffed it and put it on the wall. And then Mor is like, I think that joke's in bad taste. And Amryn goes, I saved your asses. I'm entitled to say what I want.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, oh, this new Amryn is even, like, snarkier
even than
the last one.
I know. But so I loved this whole part in the book. This is what this was such a reading this. I felt like my face was being slapped back and forth, you know, because it was just like, oh, my gosh, wait. And then this and then this and then this. But I loved that their dad came.
Yeah.
We haven't even touched on that. But I loved that scene with his ships and
named after the daughters.
Yes. And just a lot of emotions during this whole part of the book.
Yeah. It may be a bit sad because they had these ideas about their dad and then he had gone off to do this huge thing but didn't tell them.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just open up and say, like, this is happening and maybe you guys should go somewhere else that's safer and I'm going to go try and help, you know?
Yeah. Like, kind of like wasted time, you know? Like, they did.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It makes me sad only for them to then die. So it's a lot left unsaid there. And then again, like, then the emotional part of killing the king, and then, you know, Rhys dying, and all, you know, just so much towards, like
boom,
that
boom, 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 things part
of the book,
happening,
you know. Yeah, just a lot of just this was a heavy book as far as content and what the war piece usually. Storylines like this, I get a little lost in because they're hard to kind of keep track of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you need one of those war maps of, like, who's
literally
here, where.
Yes, and that's how I am with anything like this. It's just how I am. It gets very confusing when there's so many different pieces to the puzzle. But I just think it was so wonderfully done. I mean, such a edge of your seat type of read, right? Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Say? Like.
Yeah, yeah.
So action-packed.
Because you never know what's going to happen next, of course, yeah.
Right, and then I wasn't expecting Rhys to die, you know? I mean,
no.
I was like, what?
I mean, in retrospect, I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of poetic. They've both, like, died and been brought back, whatever. Yeah. But that was another, again, like, when Nesta throws herself on Cassian, it's like Feyre throws herself on Rhys and then is, like, pleading with everyone to save him. I like how Mor, like, literally puts a sword to Baron's throat and is like, I don't mind making one more kill today.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically, you better go do it.
Yeah, exactly.
So Tamlin does it by choice, but I think if he hadn't at the end there, I think, like, he wouldn't have been able to live that down. Everybody does it but him, and then, you know, someone would have held a sword to his throat or magically forced him to do it or something, but it was good that he did do it on his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love, also, we haven't talked about Elaine being a seer.
Oh.
Which is an amazing
gift. See, there's
gift.
Just so and there, much in this book, you know?
Right.
So many things.
I think it's actually, you know, I thought Akamath was longer, but I recently read that the pages, literally the thickness of the paper, is thinner in this book because it's longer. And I meant to compare the page count, but didn't.
Oh, interesting.
This one's 699 pages because just so much happens. Do you have your Akamath nearby?
No, I don't.
No, actually. Okay. Well, it doesn't really matter. Anyway, there's so much happens. But like early on, Elaine kept saying these things that were nonsensical. And I was like, I mean, obviously she's like Bird of Fire. We've already heard about the queen that was, you know. So I was quite relieved when Az finally was like, oh, light bulb, she's a seer now.
Yeah. There's so much in here that's what I mean. I feel like I need an ACOTAR diagram that has like all of the, someone needs to do this for me, like where it says what each of these people, like who does what, who has this, who's here, who's with who. Who's somewhere?
Well, you can look at the wikis online, or I know. Maybe she'll produce, you know, like in the Outlander universe, Diana Gabaldon does the Outlandish Companions.
Oh, yeah.
So there's two of those. And in them, there's multiple essays and resources and things. Yeah. But there's also like character lists. And so like
ACOTAR there's a character for Dummies.
You can't quite remember. Yeah.
You know, but really at this point, at this book is what did it. Like the last two. Mm-hmm. You know, started to get a little more complex, but like this just, I mean, we're in it now, you know?
So. Yeah. I feel like, you know, we talked about the first one being a lot of world building, and I feel like this one was also that, in that there was a lot of like new characters brought in that we're going to hear about more later.
Yes.
So it was an ending and also a beginning, this one, because I think it leads into so many things that might happen. Speaking of that, should we talk about some predictions?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Things that might happen. Well, I think the obvious one is Cassian and Nesta. I mean, there's been so many clues there. I think that something's definitely going to develop in later books. And that's about where we have to leave that for now, because we're not talking
we can't
about
say anything
those. Got to wait a couple of weeks for more discussion about that.
That's coming soon.
Oh, it's a good one. And then we talked a little bit about if Lucien ends up being Hellion's son, will he inherit the Day Court? Will that, like, you know, will him and Nesta, sorry, will him and Elaine
wrong sister.
End up, yeah, wrong sister, end up living as mates and taking over Day Court, living there as prince and princess, I guess they would be called, while Hellion's still around. However, I feel like there's also been a bit of hinty hints about Lucien and Vasa. So Vasa, the queen, who's under the curse.
Yes.
Because someone says earlier, I can't remember who says it, but someone's like, ooh, the Lord of Fire and the Firebird.
Yeah.
And then there's also like when he comes after the battle and he's talking about Vasa and how great she is. And Feyre says, oh, you sound like an acolyte. And he like blushes and looks at Elaine. So I feel like there's a little bit of a crushy crush going on there. Although that would be awkward because she's human. So that would be like, you know, it's just
and she's not the bad queen. Remind me.
No, she's
no, the, right. Okay.
She was cursed by the bad queens.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So, but maybe her being under this curse, maybe that gives her some kind of like extended life or immortality. Maybe. So maybe it wouldn't be such a bad pairing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or maybe it seems like
she could become Fae.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to be handed out.
Right. I was going to say. So. Seems to happen pretty quickly.
What else are we going to see? I think that more is going to come out to her family.
I hope so.
The seed has been planted there. Obviously, she's, you know, come out to Feyre. I really, really hope she does. You know, it's kind of a bummer that this is such a progressive court.
Yeah.
You know, so I really of all the courts, that they could just be comfortable being who they are.
Right.
I want her to have that.
Me too. Of all the courts, the Night Court would be the most accepting of anyone.
I think so. But you know, I feel like what we were talking about earlier, there's a lot of courts we just don't know that much about. I feel like Hellion would be pretty easygoing.
That's true. Right. Well, yes. But I just mean in general, like the Night Court, not even just related to that, but just in so many things. Like, right.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, I mean that.
Yeah. Too. So I am glad that she at least could confide in Feyre about that. Mm-hmm. And I think that also speaks volumes, because really they haven't even known each other for that long when you think about it.
Right. I know.
Yeah. So I love that they have that bond. But hopefully we get a little bit more, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I have a more wild prediction, but there was just one line in there that I was like, do you remember Nuon? So she's the tinkerer who made Lucien's eye. And then she's in Theseus's court. Dawn Court. Okay. And she comes to the meeting to say that she's found a cure for the Feybane, right?
And right.
We can give okay. that to everybody.
Yes.
And Tarkin from Summer Court asks her a question, and she like looks him in the eye and doesn't break eye contact. And it says in there something about like he's taken aback by the fact that she like dares to like make eye contact with a High Lord and like mm-hmm. keep that eye contact. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. I want Tarquin to have some happiness. He's been a good guy. So
I know.
That could be something like interesting.
I kind of felt bad when they had to do the yeah. Summer Court dirty a little bit, you know, because I did like the Summer Court. That's
he
where
really
I would
was
be.
So welcoming and friendly. It's totally your court.
It's totally my court. I mean,
and didn't we do that thing? There was,
yes,
there
and was it like was. A, it was Summer Court for me.
Yeah, there was like a Zodiac thing that went around, and it was if you are this, then you are this, and you were Summer, and I was
Summer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I would be. It's so funny you say that. It's raining here today, and it's cold.
And oh man, it was so hot here. And I was like, dang, I wish it would rain.
Oh no, my friends, my friends were like, oh, it's the perfect fall weather. And I looked at them, I was like, don't even say it. And I was like,
shut up, you.
And I was like, I become my worst version of myself from now until next June. Like, you know, like it's happening.
Oh, yeah, it's so sad. Court. I'm gonna have to like hold back my autumn love a little bit on the page because
no,
I'm all
it's
like
all right.
Ooh,
everyone
like
loves
fall leaves and
it
cool
is.
Temps and Halloween.
Beautiful. I know. I love, I do. I love Halloween. I do love like everything that comes with it. I just
don't like
I
the
just
cold.
Prefer, I think it's that I know what's coming. I'm just winter. I would not survive the winter court. I would cross those boundaries so damn fast.
Right.
You know, like, I'd
although,
be like,
I'm out. I thought Winter Court sounded super cool when they all came for the battle and they had like really, really interesting creatures. Do
oh,
you
I'm
remember
sure.
that? Like they were described. I even like made a note. I thought I made a note of like they were like, you know, there was polar bears and there was like icicle leg monsters and there were well, not monsters, but fairies. Yeah, and there was like little foxes running around delivering messages wearing like embroidered vests. I was like, oh. Just
I'm
so
sure
adorable.
It's great. I would just, no, I'd prefer, I'll go with Tarquin. It's all right.
Okay.
Okay. I'll
you
be
can
his,
have him. You
I'll
can have him.
My lady.
I'll be in night slash winter and we can visit in the middle.
That's fine. Oh, man.
Yeah. And then I think the only other prediction, at least I made a note of, we sort of talked about already. I feel like we're setting it up to see more of the Cretia faction. So I feel like we've seen a lot of Prithian. We know we're going to see a bit more Prithian, but I feel like they've referred to the continent enough, you know, like what would be our Europe. And Cretia, obviously, like barely disguised Crete. It's got to be Crete, like in Greece, right?
Yeah.
I think we're going to see more of that. I think the action's going to move over there, right? We're going to see more of what the queens have been doing. We know that the wall broke down, like not just across Prithian, but all the way across the continent. And we didn't see anything of what was happening over there.
No.
Like Hybern wasn't invading over there, but still there was a wall for a reason between the human areas and the Fae. So what was happening over there? What was their conflict happening? Or, you know, we just don't know yet. So I think we'll see more of that in later books, or at least I would hope so.
I mean, obviously you and I have read to the end and I still feel like we haven't seen that.
But I still feel like that's to come.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
we do get some more. We get over there and see some things.
Some things. Yes.
We can't talk about right now.
Right. But I still feel like there's a lot.
I think we're moving. We're moving east.
Yeah. Come on, Sarah. Hurry it up.
Yeah.
More story. Oh, man.
So but, what did you think? Yeah. What would you rate of these three books? Are you still number two is best?
Number
of the
two.
Of just talking three. About these three.
Yeah. Specifically these three. It would go 2-3-1 for me.
Me too.
Yeah. And again, just because, like you said, one is more of that world building. So it's just this setting things up, you know? The end gets good, but obviously with any series like that, that first book is really gonna, you know, kind of get you into it and then you're in it, you know? So But yeah, it's still two. But
Yeah.
now whether my ranking stays the same, you'll have to
We will
wait
have
and
to
see.
wait and see. Wait and
It
listen.
might, it might not.
I think of two as being like the steamiest, but that's what I mean. I think of it being that way, but I think it's like, oh, Acamef, chapter 55. You know, I think of that. But then when I reread this one, I was like, okay, actually, there's a fair bit in here. It's just there's more scenes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But some of them are like closed door, you know?
Yeah.
Like, some of them are just like, it happens, but all she says is like, our joining was intense or something, yeah. You know, like there's no description.
But again, I feel like when we jump to five, there's a big shift.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So I just mean in these three.
Got it.
There was a lot of flirt. There was a lot of flirty talk in this one, which was fun. Do you remember that bit where they were at the meeting and they're talking like mind to mind and they're joking about like how Helion is trying to get like Cassian, Az, and Mor in all into bed together with him.
Yes.
And their Feyre makes a joke to Rhys, like, why the hell haven't they done it?
Yeah.
And Rhys is like, oh, you'd probably like the idea of two males in bed worshiping you. And yeah. they're joking back and forth, and then Mor just says, whatever you're saying mind to mind, either share it or go to another room. So you don't have to sit here stewing in your sense.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah. Oh, the only other thing we didn't talk about that I wanted to mention was if I was going to get an Akatar tattoo, it would be the one that Feyre gets in this book, the one that's described when she makes the bargain with Bryaxis and the Carver. And she like sends a mental picture to Rhys. Do you remember that?
No.
It's described as being along
the
column. Yeah, it's along the column of her spine from base to nape, so pretty big. But it's the four phases of the moon with a small star in the middle of them.
I feel like that's probably,
that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, but I feel like that's probably at this point, at least for fans, probably a common tattoo.
Oh, I'm sure someone's done
Wouldn't
it.
You
yeah.
think?
I've definitely seen people get like the symbol that Rhys has, like the mountains and then with the three stars above. I've definitely seen that. I actually have earrings that are like that. They're like hoops but have the phases of the moon.
Oh, that's really cool.
Imprinted, and the ones I'm wearing right now actually are studs, but one's a star and one's a moon.
I love that.
So
See, people have definitely done it.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah, I
but
think that
yes,
looks really cool.
I agree. It is a really, really cool tattoo, and I do love seeing that in the fan art. It's really neat. But I even love like the swirly on their hands and stuff.
Yeah. Like on the book cover.
Yes. Oh, see, my book cover doesn't look like that.
Oh, you have the newer one, don't you?
I have, yeah, but I love that one.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Mine are these. Hold on, I put it away, but
yours are like the bright colored ones. Yeah, like that. They just released actually that one, Court of Silver Flames, in paperback. I just put it up on our stories.
I saw.
But these
but
ones
I
are
love
beautiful.
Yours. I know. Mm-hmm. I really
the only
love
downside
that
with this is they changed it after Akofas, but before Akosif. So A Court of Silver Flames is the I can't get it in this. They changed it before that. So I have the first four with this cover.
Yeah. And you also
which actually was great because I got them super cheap, like $8 each for the hardcovers.
Yeah, that's great. You have that special edition of the first one, don't you?
I do, yes. I have a special
That one's
one.
Really pretty.
I have this that for both the first book of this series and for Throne of Glass. And they're like cloth covered with the slipcase and just beautiful. I wonder, that makes me think she'll do it for Crescent City also. So it seems like it's sort of the first book of each series.
But I wonder why not like all of them. Like I would rebuy them like that because they're so pretty.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like they.
Yeah, they're more expensive than the hardcovers. But yeah, I bet people would buy them. I don't know why.
I totally would.
Let's ask her when she comes on our podcast.
Every time I see her, following her on Instagram, every time I see her post something, I'm like, oh, and then I'm like, oh, all right. Like today, again, like, oh, she posted. Oh, it's just the paperback. Okay.
Because you're waiting for the next book date.
I'm like, come on. Like, just give me something. Give me something. And then everyone's like, yeah, it's going to be a Hulu series. I'm like, I know. She's been saying that for a while now. I don't know.
That's in development.
Yeah, it's been in development for a while. Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's all good, though.
We'll get it. She said we're getting it, so we'll get it.
Fingers
we just got to be patient and read other things in the meantime.
Yep, exactly. So, okay. So
we have two more books of this one to discuss. So.
Well, yeah, but do we want to cover A Court of Frost and Starlight? Or just
We could just wrap it into the discussion of Silver Flames, because it really is the bridge book. It's the holiday special that bridges you into that. And it's not really it's fun to read. I like it.
It's fun. Yeah. Like,
but
I don't,
you,
not like
honestly,
it,
but... you could skip it and you don't miss anything.
Exactly.
Plot-wise.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we could just touch on it when we discuss Silver Flames. We're just going to have a really long episode for that one.
That's definitely going to be a long episode. I have a lot to say about that book. Oof, I can't wait. I know. When do we want to record that one? Hopefully sooner.
Soon.
Oh, I love that one so much.
I know. It's a goodie. Although, right. So there's still, I've heard of some people who hate that book. And I was like, what? Yeah.
Oh, who? How?
I don't know. He said it was boring. And I was like, what? Oh,
it's such a beautiful book.
I liked it so much, with the sisterhood and the training and the library. And there's so much good stuff in there. And the sex,
I also just feel like there's such a bigger message to that. I think that's why it stuck. Anyway, we won't get too much into it. But if you're not.
We'll get too much into it. But
if you have not read it yet, there's just such a deeper. I feel like that book hit me the deepest out of all of them, as far as.
That's true for me too.
The overall theme of the book. You know what I'm saying?
I identified it with it the most, for sure.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And there is actually a nice little intro, I guess, to what are some of the topics of that one in this book. So remember when Reese brings Feyre to the library for the first time and explains that the library is essentially at the House of Wind, it's like a refuge for women who have been abused, and that essentially belongs to them, and it's supposed to be a safe word, a place where they're safe,
like,
and he and Moore help them get settled, and and we see more of that in book five, that the library is kind of a important place, and so is that theme.
Yeah, it's such a if you haven't read it, please go read it.
We'll read it so that you can listen to our next podcast.
Yeah, read it so you can listen. All right.
We'll give you a couple weeks, because it's a long one.
Bye-bye. It's a long one, and we'll have some episodes in between. But that, I guess, concludes our discussion of Gawar. We're almost through it, right?
Court of War, aka and, Wings and Ruin.
Yeah, Wings and Ruin, yes. Wings and Ruin.
The Courts at War.
That's essentially what it is. So, what else? Yeah. If you guys are not following us over on our Instagram, you can catch us there at Lit Chicks Read. We also have our Patreon that, we actually dropped some questions in there recently and got some good feedback that we're going to working on.
Some content from our last episode there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was browsing around at some friends of mine who have Patreons. I was like, dang, ours is a deal. It's like,
it's $1 a month.
Most of them start at one of my friends starts at $7 a month. And I was like, well, good for her. But it's such a deal. $1 a month. And we're really just starting out, but you are going to get, bits of content now and more as we proceed. So we're going to get early episodes. You're going to get recipes. We're going to have chats in there, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. So you can, that'll be in the show notes if you guys want to come over and join us there. And what else, Cheryl?
I think that's it for now.
I think that's kind of it. We also have SpeakPipe. Do announce the books that we're going to be sharing over on our Instagram, and you can leave us a message on those books on our little SpeakPipe voicemail box. So we'll keep that. We'll have that link in the show notes too.
Mm-hmm. And it's on our page right now too. The SpeakPipe link is
that
there.
Is. Yes. And as always, thank you guys so much for listening. And if you want to rate us, subscribe on whatever podcast streaming service you're using, we would be so appreciative. And I think that's kind of it. We'll
see you next time.
See you next time. Thanks.
Bye.